Among the wild beasts of Australia, one has captured the attention of cryptozoologists who search tirelessly for proof of its existence. Is there truly a large hominid lurking in the mountains and forests down under? Or have these monster hunters got us all stitched up? This week's episode is The Yowie.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. Oh,
Googled what a... an Australian phrase for being joked about was, and it said stitched up. So I hope that's right, my Australian mates.
We all are going to get a little stitched up this episode and get to hear Heather's Australian accent about 100 times. So
we've been practicing and listening to a lot of interviews. I love how willing people are to come forward and do like recorded on-camera interviews about their encounters.
I mean, it's the same with America and Bigfoot. True. There's no shortage of people out in the woods that are just raring to go when it comes to somebody shows up with a camera, or they want to take you to their garage and show you their artifacts.
There's a number of dueling competing experts in this, and I just love that. When I was like, we could write a whole episode just on the great Yowie hunter battles of the history of Yowie, not only on the creature itself, but of the people who have been looking for it, and themselves.
Offices aren't the only place that have workplace politics.
There's so many politics.
It can be in any niche industry. There's still going to be, like, infighting, and that's so funny.
It cracks me up. It does. I love those TikToks where it's like a niche drama of like, you might not know, but this knitting convention had this crazy drama happen. And I'm like, here for it. I don't knit, and I probably never will, but I want to know who did. Something on TikTok, there was some drama between TikTokers the other day, and Paris was like, are you watching a third TikToker break down the drama between two other TikTokers? And I was like, yes, I am. Yes, I am doing that.
Oh, there's always drama going on between influencers. It's honestly, sometimes it's embarrassing.
I'm like,
why? What is happening, y'all? Like, in the words of Kourtney Kardashian, people are dying, Kim. Like, why are we worried about these ridiculous things when there's so much more to worry about? Yeah. However, we're about to bring you an episode about an 11-foot, hairy-covered, ape-like thing. So who are we to talk?
Yeah. Who am I judging? Says the woman with the giant gargoyle over her shoulder. I'm like, people are very silly. Anyway, on to my seriousness. I have my serious sweater on, and I'm ready to discuss it. I'm also ready to discuss the moon, which we're not going to talk about in this episode, but we are going to talk about on tour, if you don't know. Our full moon energy tour is coming back, and just next month we're going to be back on the road.
I got a lot to do to prepare.
Me too.
So I thought about today. I was like, oh, this is coming up fast, very fast.
We're nipping going at to our heels.
Starting it off in St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Raleigh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and ending it in October in Dallas. So for all details, including dates, times, venues, and more, visit sinisterhood.com/live shows.
Yeah, please come. It's funny, the Dallas show is on the giant full moon, like we said, and it's like, did you mean to do that? Be like, yeah, we did. We did.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah,
Taylor Swift style. We planned it out. I'm a mastermind.
Years in advance, we planned it out. And before we even knew this was going to happen, we were like, October 17th just feels right.
Did we pick the date? We did. We did. You know what feels right? The Yowie.
Well, depending on who you ask, some people think, you know, benevolent creature. Others, apparently, this is just one more thing to be fearful of in the Australian bush. As if we didn't have, and by we, I mean not me, because I don't live there at all. I live very far away. But the people that live there, they already got to worry about lions, crocodiles, fucking huge man-eating spiders. And now humongous. We got a Yowie multiple yaoi's prowling around out there.
Yaoi ain't even the only one, too. We could do a whole series on Australian cryptids, but this is the one. It's probably the biggest, certainly, based on the description.
It's a big boy.
Honker.
Or girl. Or whatever.
They was like,
I'm not here to gender any cryptid. So no. They, you know, all I know is they're huge and hairy.
Huge, hairy, with mammary glands, one of the guys said.
Well, okay. So we know that they do produce milk, perhaps.
You can milk any yaoi with nipples.
Ooh. Well, if you've had a drink of yaoi milk, please send that in to sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday, because I'd love to hear what that tastes like. I'm guessing...
thick.
Yeah, my first viscous thought was really thick. I was trying to think, and I was like, I feel like it would have the consistency of eggnog.
Yeah, like evaporated milk out of the can.
Yeah, it's like too thick, and it's going to have kind of a gamey flavor, I think.
It's a little meaty somehow. A little salty on your tongue. I try it. I'm here to just admit it. I know myself.
Well, you ate a capybara, so. Yeah,
not intentionally, but... Honestly, if you probably would have told me what it was already cooked. I probably would have tried it.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to drink yaoi milk, but I guess there's only one way to find out. We got to go to Australia and
we
got to find one and then ask it for its consent to suck on its teat.
You're like, let me get
because
some.
Because I'm going straight from the teat. Yeah. Could it go into fresh. A glass and I could drink it? Sure. But I like a farm to table situation.
You want a fresh one. Well, they do mm-hmm. make yaoi chocolates that have little treats inside of them. That's like the yaoi chocolate company that came up in some of our research. So maybe we can at least eat a yaoi and it'll be delicious and chocolatey and not viscous and gamey.
Maybe the yaoi chocolate is made with yaoi milk. I haven't checked the ingredients.
It's pure, natural, all natural yaoi milk. Milk chocolate. It's viscous.
Free range yaoi's. This one came from. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Australia is home to some of the most incredible animals on the planet. Traversing the outback, you may encounter the 20-foot-long saltwater crocodile that ambushes its prey and can weigh as much as a Toyota Camry. Or you may find the scrub python, an enormous non-venomous constrictor that can reach up to 26 feet in length and weigh over 55 pounds. But one creature that has managed to elude capture for centuries is a tall, hairy, ape-like creature. Lurking in the Greater Blue Mountains, an area roughly the size of the country of Lebanon, lying 80 kilometers west of Sydney, cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman called it
one of the world's greatest zoological or anthropological mysteries.
Others call it the yaoi.
Much like the ocean, I didn't realize there's a large quantity of Australia that has not been explored, like wilderness, out forestry areas. Like this one guy said 40%. I'm quoting him.
Ooh.
I didn't look much into it beyond that, but there's a lot of area. When we covered Larima, you know, there'd just be areas where you just drive and drive and drive and drive and drive to get somewhere. So
wasn't it Larima that there was the whole belief that it was the end of the earth, and if you mm-hmm. kept driving, you would just fall off the end of the earth?
Yeah, until the yaoi catches you and then nurses you at its breast.
That's how you get the milk. That is almost half, which is a very obvious statement, of
so much
how big that... But, I mean, imagine if in Texas... 40% of it hadn't been, which for all I know could be the case. It's pretty big. hadn't been explored. And then you're just living here. You don't know what's out there that could just come walking down the street at any time.
That's true. I think it's like stay on the road because you don't want to wander.
But sometimes there's no road. There's no roads. Just right. See out back.
Get
but
your quad
for real,
bike.
It's just dirt out there sometimes. So there's, I mean, unless you know, you don't know. And that's why they, like we talked about in Larima, so many people that go on walkabouts get turned around and lost and die of the elements because it's just unforgiving. And if you don't know where you're going, it's very easy to get lost.
It really is. And what's out there, too. I saw a clip of Steve Irwin, may he rest in peace,
driving
a quad
Steve
bike.
Irwin.
Yeah, he was driving a quad bike. And he was on this ridge. And he, like, whipped a right, leapt off the quad bike, sort of let it roll away from him, and took off running. And it was like, this, the glint of scales is all it took for Steve to head over. And he was like, this is the second most venomous snake. And it was just right there, right off the road. He could see it, that he's like, oh yeah, they're really bad. He's like, but mostly they like rodents. They don't want to get you. You know, you don't want to just like go up and grab it anyway.
And then he went up and grabbed it by the head.
Like he can, but yeah.
Boss.
Oh, the rest of us. But yeah. But just like you said, it's just like right, literally spitting distance is like the second most venomous snake in the world.
It's wild. If I ever came in contact with a 26 foot long snake or a 20 foot long crocodile, they wouldn't need to attack me because I would simply pass away.
You just like burst into dust and vanish into nothing. We watched that. We were watching that video of those salties. That's what they call the crocs, salties, running together across that, like when the bridge would wash out and they're all just swimming.
They're just waiting. That's another big thing on TikTok too, is people, I forget, it's some famous bridge, but it often floods and the crocs just wait at the edge because people just drive straight off. It's, I mean, it does, I don't even think it floods. I think it's like the tides come in. So once a day, it's impassable, but sometimes people get real brave and think, I can make it.
Everyone thinks that it's you. And we also think that Australia is no rules just right. But I think it's only the strong survive. Because it's truly.
It's not a place for the faint of heart.
It's incredible. I want to go there.
So bad. So everyone on the tour, when people say, oh, y'all aren't coming to Australia again, it's not because we don't want to. Let's just say that. It's not because we don't want to go to England or the Outback. We want to come to all these places. You know, it's those places aren't cheap, so you gotta be big.
We gotta up the listenership. What we're saying is share this show with all your friends.
To Australia.
Yeah. Share the show with your friends so we can all go to Australia.
Oh my gosh, my dream. Yes. According to YowieSightings.com, the names varied across regions, with some of those native to the land calling it Yahoo, or Doolagarl, or Doolagal, meaning
the great hairy man.
Those living in the New South Wales area use names like Jindaring and Jurrawarra, while tribes in the Queensland area referred to creatures such as Quinkin and Jugabena. All of these beasts resembled the Yowie in one way or another, whether by sheer massive size or their hair-covered skin. Elders in the Bunjeri and Gunadut Aboriginal groups called it the
original inhabitant
of the continent, claiming there were many tribes of them roaming free at one time, according to Yowie sightings. Well, I probably butchered every single one of those words, and I apologize to all.
No, you did great.
But it's this, when we look at like the history of things like this, it's always fascinating to me because just like in America too, there's so many names for things, or we see like different Native American tribes like throughout the country, but perhaps cave drawings all represent sort of kind of the same thing, but people just have different words for them, but they see these things throughout their culture and it becomes really a part of their culture.
Yeah, it's always fascinating when you see like a consistency of experience and then just whether it based on some languages. I watched a professor explain how sometimes it's more visual based, like the words are descriptive versus other ones are auditory based of like, oh, they call it the sound that it makes. And so you'd be like, oh, we would call a monkey a hoo-hoo and we would call a bird a caw-caw versus like, oh, we would makes call that sense. One a hair face and that one a beak face or what, you know. So it's just funny because you have kind of different names for the same thing.
Yeah, but no.
They all had a name for it.
It's like if a kid was going to name something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at it and you're like, what's the first thing that comes to my mind? Like when Ella just casually referred to her knee pit, which is the back of her knee.
Yeah, I love a knee pit. That's genius.
And I was
genius.
Like,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Why don't we call it that? More of us should call it that.
She's like, oh, I got an itch in my knee pit. And I was like, what's that? And then she goes, yep, you're right. That is called a knee pit. If we were going to call it anything, it would be that.
Clarity. We love it. Sinister Hood will be right back. Paris and I do a thing that I didn't realize was called parallel play, which my mind's out of the gutter. It happens in the living room.
This is about to turn into a different type of podcast.
Bom, bom, bom. But for real, it's like where he'll be playing video games and I'll be on TikTok, or he'll be reading something and I'll be drawing something. And we just do our own thing, but we're in the same room and in proximity. And I was like, I didn't know there was a name for that until Paired popped up on this wonderful app that we use and realized that is something that we both really cherish doing with each other.
Nice. That's also how toddlers play.
Exactly.
They don't know. They don't really interact, but it's still like the way of like, you're still getting to do what you love in the same room as the person you love, but you're also getting to do the thing that you want to do.
Yeah.
Well, the app is called Paired. It's a relationship app for couples. You and your partner download the app, pair together, and every day Paired gives you questions, quizzes, and games to have fun, stay connected, and deepen your conversations.
It's simple and often hilarious. Each day you get a quiz to play or a question to answer, and you can't see your partner's answer until you answer it yourself. I also like it. I mean, it's great for your relationship, but also it's great for a person like me who loves streaks. I love app streaks. And so it gives you like the little flame streak when we get going, and I'm like, babe, get on it. And he's like, I saw it. I want to see your answer. But that was the one for today. And that's such a satisfying thing when I get my little flame up there and I'm like, streaking.
We're going streaking. Whether you're just a few dates in or you've been together a long time, it's time to lighten the mood and have fun with your partner by using Paired. Head to paired.com/creepy to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription.
Just head to paired.com/creepy to sign up today. Connect with your partner every day using Paired. A happier relationship starts here.
The book Cryptozoology A to Z explains how the Yowie's original name, Yahoo, may have been inspired by literature. Some accounts indicate Yahoo was an Aboriginal term, but others believe it came from the 1726 novel Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. The Yahoos in Swift's novel were a subhuman race, and authors Lauren Coleman and Jerome Clark believe colonists supplanted a local term used to describe the great creature with this one from English literature. Sometime in the 1970s, the term Yowie overtook Yahoo as the most used name for the hairy man of Australia. Many different kinds of unknown hairy beasts have all now been called Yowie, leading to a somewhat muddled history of sightings. Aboriginal folklore depicts the Yowie as powerful beings connected to the land, serving as its guardian from the time of creation, a time which they called Dreamtime. In a 1979 interview with an Aboriginal elder, he explained of the Yowie,
"He only appears to Aboriginal people."
In Australia's far north Queensland, the Kuku Yalanji tribe have legends that speak of a creature called the Yowie, with whom they've supposedly coexisted for centuries. According to the Blue Mountains Gazette, these legends detail a long history of encounters, not always peaceful, between the tribe and the Yowie.
It makes me kind of think of the Wendigo, where people came in and kind of gave it their own name or gave it their own spin. And by people, I mean colonists, colonizers, and the folks that have lived on the land forever and been stewards on the land forever have their own version of it. And it's like, we have our own history with it. We're going to try to warn you about it. Well, whether that'll work or not, that's up to y'all.
Also, hey, maybe you want to take some advice from us, because we've been living with it and coexisting with it for a long time. And you just come in here with your dick swinging, think you're going to take over. It's like, all right, if you don't want to heed my warnings, then I'm not going to tell you how to deal with a Yowie.
Good luck. You'll never taste that sweet, sweet milk. But it's the same as in the United States. I watched the whole thing on PBS about forest fires and preserving the forest and how early forest rangers would ignore Native American indigenous people who said, oh, you should do X, Y, and Z. And they were like, yeah, whatever. And then exactly what was predicted would happen. And then they have to go back to the people and say, oh, yeah, how do we undo all this? And it's like, in some cases, you can't undo it. Like, we warned you, you're going to kill all the salmon or you're going to mess this river up. And it's like, sometimes the stewards of the land for centuries, that's probably who we should go back to listening to.
Yes, they immediately assume they're
smarter or better
beneath them. Yeah, and that they're ignorant. And it's like, why wouldn't you take the advice of someone who's lived here for centuries? I mean, of course they know all of these things.
They're like, you just got here, man. It's like, yes, but I came on a ship. And it's like, yeah, most fucking terrible things do to
the white man. Colonists arrived in Australia with the first fleet at Sydney Cove, now Circular Quay, on 11 ships full of convicts from Britain in 1788. The new arrivals were warned by the First Peoples that there were large creatures to be avoided in the mountains and bush areas. At first, the colonizers believed that the legends were mere warnings to keep them out of the areas, but soon they began hearing and seeing the creatures themselves. As locals were subjected to an onslaught of violence and new diseases brought from Europe, the colonists began venturing into the more remote areas of Australia. On an expedition in 1789, a group of wallaby hunters claimed to feel like they were being watched. They turned their attention to the area and saw an enormous, hairy figure. Shortly after, the first printed report of the Yowie occurred in 1789. The news article was titled,
"A description of a wonderful large wild man or monstrous giant brought from Botany Bay."
The article alleged that
many thousands
had seen the beast.
I guess you write back to Britain and are like, well, some things have happened. Some things have occurred down here.
And it takes quite a while for them to get that letter. So by the time it arrives, the Yowie may have gotten you.
It ate them all up.
You may be sucking from the Yowie's teat already.
Yeah, by the time you get this, I will be gone.
The newly arrived colonists were quick to chart their experiences with the Yowie. Written records from the mid-1800s detail encounters. One report from 1842 described the belief in the Down Under legend.
"The natives of Australia believe in the Yahoo, this being they describe as resembling a man of nearly the same height, with long white hair hanging down from the head over the features, the arms as extraordinarily long, furnished at the extremities with great talons, and the feet turned backwards, so that, on flying from man, the imprint of the foot appears as if the being had traveled in the opposite direction. Altogether, they describe it as a hideous monster of an unearthly character, an ape-like appearance."
Backwards feet has got to be a bitch. Like, how do you know if you're coming or going? That's confusing as hell.
Yeah, that is, I feel like I trip enough with frontways feet. Mm-hmm. I don't need to turn them backwards.
No, not at all. There are varying accounts of the Yowie's appearance, with witnesses describing it as anywhere from 6 to 11 feet tall and covered in reddish-brown hair. Some Yowies are smaller in stature, being described as just 4 or 5 feet tall. Well, they're just like people then.
They come in all sizes.
Got all shapes and sizes.
Some of them, like the cryptozoologist will be very serious and be like, "That was a mother and a babe." Like, the sizes of them are different.
You can tell because it was sucking on a teat. Cryptozoologist Gary Opitt told filmmakers for Track, the Search for Australia's Bigfoot, that Aboriginal peoples seem to have been aware of the Yowie from early on, explaining,
"Every single language group had a very detailed information and names on at least 2 species of unknown relic hominid in Australia. We generally know the large species that stands about 2 to 3 meters in height. Then there's also a very large number of reports of a very small species that only stands a meter or so high, round about 4 feet. There's also a possibility there's some kind of marsupial ape."
This was fascinating to Opitt, as some early reports also described the Yowie as having a pouch with a young one inside it. The extensive reports indicate that there are possibly 2 species, one smaller and one larger, lingering in the mountains.
It's just a deal where you see something hairy and big and you're like, it's a Yowie! And it's like, that one wasn't a Yowie, okay?
That was a kangaroo
marsupial. Yeah.
Or maybe some Yowies, they do have pouches. I mean, you got
yowches,
all these
they're
animals.
They're called yowches. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They do have to be called yowches. You got all these animals out there in the bush. Mm-hmm. At some point, you know,
mixing,
the
mingling.
Heart wants what the heart wants. They're going to find each other and perhaps breed. And then you've got a kangaroo and a Yowie. And now you got a Yowie-roo.
Yeah, they just time stops as they see each other across the bush, like time after time.
It's a real Romeo and Juliet situation. It's like reaching out. Capulets and the Montagues.
It's forbidden love. Somebody on the Bigfoot subreddit was talking about their Yowie encounter and how they heard the footfall near them and said, like, it wasn't the sound of a roo, I'll tell you that. And someone in the comments was like, how funny that you know the sounds of a kangaroo's footsteps. And, like, everyone in the comments from Australia was like, yeah, we all know what it, like, that's just, like, you know, it'd be like, here, like, I know what a horse sounds like coming, because we have horses here. Not, like, everywhere, but, like, I've heard a horse more reasonably, you know, more recently than people that may live in a more populated area that's, like, more urban, that you might not have horses. All the cops are on horses, but.
What does a kangaroo sound like?
I guess it's, like.
Yeah, I was going to say, their feet go at the same time.
Think so?
So it's not a clopping, like, clop, 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 clop.
Or the yowie, which is a doom, doom.
Oh, yeah, that's not a kangaroo, because unless it's stomping, because it's very angry.
Or it's just hopping very slowly. Wait.
The mysterious creature has been reported as having a large, flat nose, a huge mouth, and bat-like ears. Its feet are said to be large as well, though its captured footprints have been inconsistent. Some say the Yowie is shy, while others, like those in the tribes native to Australia, describe it as aggressive. Famous Yowie researcher Rex Gilroy claims the Yowie is nocturnal, vegetarian, and not at all dangerous. Gilroy also says that Yowies
look like men except they're covered in long, shaggy hair.
There, if I'm not mistaken, is a condition where people can be covered in hair. I believe there's some brothers that it's they're kind of like a well-known brothers that are an indigenous tribe. It's in a jungle. I don't remember where. But they have this condition, and it's kind of like how it got known is because people went over there and filmed this. So when I was reading this, they came to mind, and I was like, what if they are just people that have this condition?
That's what I remember this family, Jesus Aceves, was born with a rare condition that has thick hair all over his face. Mm-hmm. 30 members of his family have hypertrichosis, making them almost certainly the hairiest family in human history. This is from the BBC. So yeah, you're right. It's the documentary is called Chewy the Wolfman. But as a child, his nickname's Chewy. As a child, he was on in newspapers and on, like, Sally Jesse Raphael. I feel like I saw him, like, on, you know, like a daytime talk show, maybe Oprah or something back then. But that's a good point that there is, aside from, like, there, that would explain somebody that's 4, 5, 6 foot tall. The ones that people are like, hey, we're 15 feet tall. Yeah. Like, maybe not. But that's a good point that it could be mistaken confusion of a genetic disorder that perhaps back in the day nobody had a word for. He didn't really know what to call it. Some conjecture is also that it would be certain Yowie sightings would have been convicts that escaped, that got brought over, escaped, and were hanging out in the bush and came running out and were like, ah, and they're all covered in hair because they were hiding out in the bush. But others were like, well, the first peoples that were there, like, would know the difference, and they had legends of it, like, way before the ships ever came. But that's also, I could be explain some of the sightings. You know, it's not like every single sighting is the same thing. It's just, again, different, all different names or all different things being called the same thing.
Or some could be Yowies and some could be other things too.
Yeah, right.
Self-taught naturalist Rex Gilroy became one of the foremost voices in Yowie lore. He started hunting the creature in 1959. And continued on the quest until his death in 2023 at age 80. Gilroy first heard of the creature as a high schooler in Katoomba, where he eventually became director of the Katoomba Nature Display. Rex's devotion led to his being razzed by locals, who took to yelling,
"Yowie!"
whenever they passed him. He told The Age in 1979,
"I have to put up with a lot of ridicule. Most people think I'm a nut. But no one will investigate this creature. Scientists in this country will not give me a proper hearing or investigate my evidence." Here's character number one.
I appreciate that he did not let all this ridicule and slander affect his dedication to the cause, and he was still a yaoi enthusiast and trying to prove it up until the ripe old age of 80.
For decades. I like the newspaper said unkind youths have been known to shout yaoi at him. I'm like, he's just getting razzed.
Yeah.
But he was very taken with the concept of the yaoi when he was 14. He like read about it and was like, I'm going to find it.
A lot of things like that that we've researched, it's like the brothers for Oak Island Treasure, mm-hmm. they read about it when they were little.
Yes.
And then there's another one we've done too. It's like this lore and this belief
in. It draws you.
Yeah. The magical side of things really just like gets in you at a young age you just never leaves.
It's some that magic tells you like, oh, when I grow up, I can just save that or I can find that or I can. The guy that was instrumental in getting Crater Lake protected as a national site and a national park and all that was like, he was like 8 or 9 eating a sandwich on a newspaper that was folded around and he saw like Crater Lake in a newspaper and was like, I want to go there and I want to mm-hmm. And then he went there and was like, I want to save it forever. So Rex just, that's all good it took was him. One article yeah. in the 1959 all the way to 2023.
Somebody's got to be the first.
That's right.
The pioneer. Such dedication in the face of ridicule was spurred on by a sighting Rex had himself in 1970. As he sat on a rock eating a sandwich, Rex felt himself being watched. He told the age that a
hairy, ape-like, man-like
thing ran into the thick brush nearby. Rex gave chase, but by the time he caught up to the spot where the creature had been, only its signature scent remained. Based on the nearby trees, Rex estimated the beast's height to be 750 centimeters, or 24 and a half feet tall.
This is a goddamn King Kong.
24 and a half feet tall. This is when I look like an idiot because I don't know how long that is. Like, how tall is a house?
Oh, that's a great question. I always go by humans and I'm like, oh,
that's a good idea.
A human man's like 6 foot tall. Like I know people that are about 6 foot tall. It would be 4 of them.
Stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, feet on shoulders.
Which would be way taller than my house.
Yeah, I think so. I think probably 15 feet, an eave of an average house, maybe be 15 or 20 feet up.
Damn.
But yeah.
So this thing is like quite a bit taller than an average house.
The one that he saw, yeah, was humongous. I was surprised. I thought that might have been a typo in the article. It wasn't. I mean, I double checked it, but 750 centimeters is a lot of centimeters.
That's pretty big. Perhaps. And here's just a theory.
Perspective.
Perhaps it was 3 yaoi kids standing on top of each other with a hairy trench coat.
Yes.
So it just looked really tall.
They're like, we'll get him. We'll get that sandwich yet. He was real pissed in that article, though, because someone suggested that perhaps it was a person in a monkey suit that was tricking him. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's impossible. Rex Gilroy was like, no. He goes, who's going to dress up and wait around in an area? Like, he was on a bushwalk. He's like, there's nothing around. And to mm-hmm. me, that's even scarier. If you were like, oh, all these sightings are just people hiding in the woods in Chewbacca costumes. I'm like, well, that's fucking horrifying. What are they trying to do? They're chasing people.
They're scary. They're trying to get their name in an article, I suppose.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Do you think I look extra classy today?
Yes. I love that sweater. I've always loved it.
I feel like I'm voguing over here. What's because I'm wearing my very fancy Quince sweater. And I like to look super nice without spending a ton of money. And then I feel really stressed out of like, oh my gosh, is it going to last? Can I wash it? Am I going to mess it up? And Quince answers all of those questions with the right answer, frankly.
Yeah, I don't like to spend a ton of money on clothes with kids because I'm like, mm-hmm. if I spend a lot of money on this and then something gross gets on it, I'm going to be real upset. But with Quince, they offer such a range of high quality items at prices within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from just $50. And speaking of washing things, washable silk tops and dresses, plus organic cotton sweaters. And I love gold jewelry. I love dainty little mm-hmm. gold jewelry. And they have some of the prettiest 14 karat gold jewelry. It's so trendy and so affordable.
And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us all. Quince items are priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And since Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, I feel like I can feel good wearing this sweater. And I feel fine when people out and about are like, that's so cute. Where did you get that? I don't have to be like, oh, it's from a place that there's a lot of exposés on the news about how it's a horrible place. You know, I can feel comfortable when I wear it and feel comfortable recommending it to others.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping on your order in 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/creepy to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/creepy.
The proud owner of a plaster cast Yowie footprint, Rex believed that the Australian cryptid was related to both the American Bigfoot as well as the Himalayan Yeti. Rex suggested that a prehistoric land bridge from Asia to Australia is what allowed the ancient cryptid ancestor to cross down under. He also believed that they were a surviving example of Homo erectus, capable of making primitive tools. He insisted that the Yowie could be a descendant of the Gigantopithecus, an extinct genus of ape measuring up to 10 feet tall that lived in southern China from 2 million to 200,000 years ago.
Regardless of believing in the Yowie or not, stuff about Gigantopithecus blew my mind.
Stuff that happened 2 million years ago, to think about that, and because there's just, China has so much history, it's that blows my mind.
Yeah.
Also, just, Gigantopithecus also blows my mind.
Yeah, but, well, and also them talking about how, like, all of Australia, Asia, part of Southern Africa, part of Antarctica, I mean, that we learned Pangaea, right? Like, it all used to be one thing before it broke apart, which is crazy, too. But I just was looking up, like, what they think Gigantopithecus looked like, what is, what, how big its hands were. I mean, it's just like a giant King Kong. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then you think, well, that couldn't be that crazy because we had dinosaurs.
Right.
So if those can exist, we have this one book called, not if those can exist, those did exist. I always want to clarify that I'm fully aware dinosaurs existed. But in all the books that we have for the kids, there's one called Dinosaurs A to Z. First of all, had no idea there were so many. But they do a comparison where they will have a person, like, this is how big it would have been. And then it'll be a little drawing of a person. And then the dinosaur next to it, some of these motherfuckers were like 60 feet fucking tall.
This is why we have to be careful with the fucking DNA we're scraping and making things again. I told my niece, the 9-year-old that's into dinosaurs, I go, did you see the woolly mammoth? They're bringing it back. And she said, yeah. And I said, what if they start doing that with dinosaurs? She goes, I don't know why they would want to do that. So many dinosaurs are capable of eating people and ripping them limb from limb. Why would you bring them back? Wrong. And I was like, all right, little Ellie Sattler, little Dr. Ellie Sattler, that's who we need. We need kids like Ella and my nieces that are like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. Please stop that. We're not trying to get eaten by a T-Rex over here.
Life will find a way, though, as we learned. And who knows what's going to happen next. It's the slippery slope from the woolly mammoth to a T-Rex. Or I think T-Rex, yes, terrifying, but they're slow. I've learned from these books, much scarier dinosaurs that are definitely going to chase you down faster than a T-Rex could.
One of those videos, I think you sent it to me on TikTok, and it was comparison, speed comparisons of dinosaurs, and it was incredible, because they did one with animals, but then one with dinosaurs. It doesn't take a huge Tyrannosaurus to be scary. It takes a dinosaur that's only a hair bigger than you as a person, and is much faster and sharper talons than you. Looks like Sir Garth back here. Garth Brooks, my gargoyle.
Almost, for some reason, one that's just a little bit bigger than me almost seems creepier, because it's like it should be a human, but instead it's a giant reptile. Like one, it's like the Uncanny Valley. Like if you go really big, okay, that makes sense. Like that is a huge dinosaur. But if they're just a little too similar to myself, and that's the real fast ones are the ones that are like the size of dogs, and they run like 80 fucking miles per hour.
It's game over. Talking about something being the same size as you is why I don't fuck with emus, though, because it's just right. Like they're a little bit taller than you and like can look you in the eye and like bob and weave and shit, and you can't keep up, and they're so fast. They're dinosaurs.
Oh, wait, emu. That's like an ostrich. Yeah. I was thinking llama. Okay.
Well, this llamas are nice. Now. I wouldn't buy a llama.
I was thinking about how I went to a llama farm once and I took many pictures, and they are like at eye level.
Yeah.
They were all very nice, but then I realized I was thinking of the wrong animal. And emus, I do believe, can be a little vicious.
Yeah, they can get you.
Mm-hmm. Rex Gilroy's spot as the preeminent Yowie researcher was taken in the early 2000s by a new cryptozoologist, Dean Harrison. Dean was an average guy working as a sales manager for a hardware company when he encountered a Yowie only 100 meters from his Brisbane home. After his encounter, Dean dedicated himself full-time to Yowie research and founded the Australian Hominid Research Organization. Through his organization and website, Dean gathered many sightings from others who claimed to have encountered the sought-after legend.
Here's the deal. I'm grateful for Dean Harrison and all he's done. I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody. He's got a fucking SUV that has, I think his license plate is Yowie. That's badass.
Nice.
However, first of all, I love that
he can't be the only one over there either. There's got to be Yowie 1, Yowie 2.
I'm sure.
All the way up to, yeah.
He's got a fleet vehicle. But I was reading his take. He's told this story many times in many different interviews. And in one of the interviews, he's like, I had a choice. I could either go back down like to investigate the Yowie and have a look, but something inside my head said, let it go because I might not come back.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a sales manager and you went to investigate a Yowie and you change your whole life, you've never come back. You've gone and it's gone.
Yeah.
You went. But the conversation he was having, he was on the phone when this happened and with his now wife. And then later on in the interview, he's like retelling it. And he was like, anyway, so my girlfriend was inside. I was outside on the phone. And the interviewer's like, I'm sorry. What? And he was like, oh, yeah. Oh, it's kind of. He was cheating on his girlfriend. He was outside having a call with the person who, be fair, he eventually married her. But like, he was like, oh, it's kind of out in the trees trying to
that
hide.
That Yowie knew what was going
on.
He
was like, you're doing her dirty.
That Yowie was trying to get that lady's attention inside. Like, come out here, catch your man, see what he's doing.
Yeah, Yowie's being a homie. Yowie's like, mm-hmm. Hey, knock, knock. Check out, see who he's on the phone with.
Yowie's a ride or die.
Like I said, I'm not trying to throw shade. That was in a public newspaper article. I just thought it was very funny that he was explaining why he was out after dark, kind of like in the bushes, and the interviewer was like, wait a minute, though.
Could this also be a way that he explained away the phone call that he shouldn't have been having to his partner that was inside?
Yeah, that's exactly what the journalist kind of concluded the article. Yeah. And it was like, when you came in, what happened? He's like, well, I told her I saw a Yowie out there. And she was like, yeah, right. He was like, okay, well.
Why have you been on the phone for so long? Well, babe, I saw a Yowie. And then it's like, why do you smell like lipstick? Well, the Yowie took me.
You wouldn't believe.
You wouldn't believe what I've just been through out there. Its milk doesn't taste like what you think it would taste like. Cast aside in favor of the newer hunter, Rex Gilroy remarked to the Sydney Morning Herald in 2000.
Maybe I should have claimed to see Yowies. Maybe then I wouldn't have been swept aside by the media in favor of all these pretenders.
Roasted.
He's so mad.
Here's where the infighting begins, see? Because they don't... Rex Gilroy takes this seriously. He doesn't want a mockery made of his industry. And then when someone comes along and it's like, you're just using this to get out of the fact that you're fucking around. He didn't take kindly to that.
He didn't like it. He said, I think Rex said, I'd like to see open season on the wankers. And it's not even just Dean. He seemed not to like him. But there's like five or six other kind of like top Yowie researchers that he just really didn't like, all of them. He said Rex Gilroy said he thought that it made Yowie hunters look foolish.
I will say I was shocked at the number of Yowie research groups that I have come across. I mean, so many, and no shortage of name. It's like the Michael Scott Paper Company. I mean, there's so many different variations of how they name them.
It's true. I mean, it really does echo Bigfoot in a lot of ways. And I believe it was Dean Harrison who contacted some of the Bigfoot search organizations in America to try to like work with them and everything. And it's like the Sydney Morning Herald called America the world's biggest and most credulous forum. Like, we'll just believe anything.
Thank you. You're not wrong. I mean, we will take that. Yes, thank you.
I was like, sometimes people have your number, and the Sydney Morning Herald had ours.
Like Gilroy before him, Dean Harrison also subscribed to the theory that Yowies were still living descendants of the Gigantopithecus. He and a crew would venture out on weekends, dressed in camo, to follow up on reported sightings. Harrison also sung the praises of the online Yowie community in making those who'd had encounters feel less alone, telling the Herald,
"The net's breaking down the walls. People can look at others' reports and realize others have seen these things too."
Well, that's one way to look at it. That is true.
Connect.
It can also be a bit of herd mentality, or, you know, you, what is it? Not implanted memory, but just like
confirmation bias. Yeah.
Yeah. And the suggested idea, if you're looking for something, then you might find it. But I do like that it is a way, if people are like, I can't tell my family about this, unless you're like, I'm going to tell my wife because I'm cheating on her and I need a good excuse.
But he claims that he's gotten both publicly posted reports and anonymous ones, and that some of the anonymous ones, many, many of them, he said, came from police officers and park rangers who said, I was out there. I saw it. They're covering it up. They told us don't talk about it. They're trying to keep it on. They're keeping it on the low low. And I think Gary Oppitt actually used to be a park ranger. And he is the cryptozoologist we talked about earlier. He had seen some in his days as a park ranger. And what does one do beyond just you be like, I got to give this life up. I got to go chase a Yowie. And then that becomes your life too. So people of all ilks are finding solace in others when they're like, I don't want to be famous as like a Yowie person, like a person who saw a Yowie. I just saw what I saw, man.
They might feel like they're going to be ostracized mm-hmm. or made fun of or get Yowie yelled at them every time they walk by.
The unkind youths in the streets. We all fear them. I do.
Now, I will say, and I'll save it for So What Do We Think, but mm-hmm. taking all of that, I have some questions as to why we haven't seen any bodies or skeletal remains.
There's an answer.
If they're so prevalent. On the expeditions, Harrison said he and his crew play a game of chase with the Yowies. He told the Herald,
"The Yowie enjoys it. If the men lose him at any stage, he'll make a sound or throw a rock, then the chase is on again."
One of Harrison's companions followed up,
"That thing is obviously bored shitless out there."
For real, though. I mean, at some point you're like, I've seen everything there is to see out here. So you're just waiting for people to come by that you can have a little fun with.
Mm-hmm. Even, I mean, Rex Gilroy in the 70s, because that's kind of when there was like sightings in the 1800s and then like here and there and people would talk about it. But it was really Rex Gilroy in the 70s that like started going. And in the 70s, he said he thought there were 500 to 600 Yowie left. And that's a really small number when you think about how far the sightings have been seen to be spread across such a large area that, yeah, they may just, they want to hang out with a buddy. They like want a friend.
They got to go find a this is why they found the kangaroo, actually. Because they needed a friend. Bom,
bom. Yeah. I've been really trying, baby.
There's got to be so many things out there they can be friends with. All those big ass snakes and crocodiles.
Bandicoots, wallabies.
Dingoes, but maybe they're all at odds. Maybe,
yeah, they're fighting.
Who's the apex here?
Obviously, this thing is humongous. It's 24 feet tall.
You think an 11-foot Yowie could take down a 20-foot saltwater crocodile? Who do you think's winning that fight?
This is like a Godzilla movie, and I would watch it in a minute. Salty versus the Yowie.
Yeah.
Honestly, my money probably would be on Yowie only because of the opposable thumbs. I feel like it's so strong. If it's able to uproot trees, as some people have alleged, I think it would be able to lift a salty and throw it and maybe climb in the trees. I think Gary Oppitt in some footage I was watching of him was talking about how in tree cover, if you see like a particularly dense area of tree cover, that could be a Yowie nest. So if they're able to go up the trees and run up high, they would win, I think. But
I was going to say crocodile just because 20 feet is insane. But also, they're so fast and aggressive that I feel like if the Yowie was just like lumbering towards it and it ran at it and like got it by its leg and then it takes it down and then they just like alligators, don't they just roll them and take them underwater and drown them?
Could be. I mean, more money's on the Yowie, but you can you can bet on who you want.
You get a Yowie croc baby.
Then that's
maybe
how they...
that tussle turns into something else.
They fall in love.
Mm-hmm. One of the more famous corroborated sightings was Arthur Marin in 1893. A cordial maker by trade, Marin was driving in his horse-drawn cart with his dog and a load of drinks in the back. Suddenly, something startled his dog, and Marin headed out to investigate, according to an article from the time. Down from his cart, Marin found himself face to face with a 6-foot-tall hairy beast standing on its hind legs. He hit the beast with a rock on its temple and finished it off with the butt end of his whip. Leaving the body on the side of the road, he headed back into town, where he reported the incident to police. An officer headed down with him the next day to identify the body, and both men concluded it was not human, nor was it an animal either of them recognized.
This man was like, I will not lose a fresh cart of cordial. I will fight you.
I hope that there was maybe a reason for him to attack him.
Otherwise.
Was he just standing there? Because otherwise, just let it be. You're in its territory, probably. If it's coming at you, trying to attack you or your dog, that's a different story. But I hope that if his life wasn't just taken in vain for the sake of killing something that he didn't recognize.
Right. People call it a Yowie sighting. We're calling it a murder because you fucking murdered that Yowie. He didn't do shit to you. I didn't read anywhere in the news article that was like, hey, it was coming right for me. It was like, so I got off me cot and I busted it in the face. And you're like, wait, what?
That's wild. It seems like it's more dangerous to do that. Just... maybe you can only go so fast, though, with a bunch of little cordials in the back, so in a covered wagon, so you can't go just, like, taking off, or they're all going to spill and break.
Yeah, it'll all smash up. They didn't even have plastic bottles back then.
Mm-mm. Marin took the furry body with him back to the cordial factory and put it on display. His wife objected and had him bury it in a shallow grave outside. A news article from October 25th, 1893, was titled...
an awkward encounter.
And described what Marin buried.
It was 4 feet long, 11 inches across the forehead, and had a face very much like a polar bear. It weighed over 7 stone, around 97 pounds. Its forearms were very strong, with great paws that would be capable of giving a terrible grip. It was tan color, like a possum, with strong hair on its skin.
The article mentioned multiple other similar sightings across Australia, in which many people were so frightened they ran off without their horses. The paper told its readers,
it has gone by the name of the Hairy Man.
Okay, well, I have a question. Because originally, Marin said that the beast was 6 feet tall, but when it was buried, it was 4 feet long. So what happened to those 2 feet?
Maybe its arms were up in the air. That's the other 2 feet.
Is that what happened?
It was on its tippy toes.
So he killed a child, is what you're saying. He killed a child Yowie.
He killed a teen.
Preteen Yowie.
It's fucked up, yeah. The polar bear face is interesting, especially given others had said it kind of had more of a wider snout. And a polar bear, I think, is more of coming like more pointier.
Yeah. It sounds like this may have been just an animal he hadn't seen before, and he took it out. Which,
and he flipped out and busted out his bullwhip and was like, bait it to death.
Can you imagine? You're waiting on your husband to come back with your cordials, and here he comes carrying this fucking... You're like, what?
Make space on the table, babe. I got something. We're going to charge tickets for it.
Oh, man. Whew. Marin's grandson, Laurie St. Hill, has continued the family's quest to identify what his grandfather saw all those years ago. He told ABC Australia in 2016.
The actual fact of the animal has never been disputed. There was an animal. It was brought in by Marin, and it was seen by the reporter and the policeman. What has been disputed is what the animal actually was.
St. Hill's guess is that his grandfather defeated a giant, unidentified marsupial, similar to the tree kangaroo, but without a tail.
I think that tracks. You could be like a big ass type of subspecies that either may be extinct now or was deformed in some way. You know, it should have had a tail, but it got eat off by a salty. Something like that where you're not sure. Like you said, he's from somewhere else. He's just landed there and all of a sudden you're trying to label the animals. And it's just like, you should ask. You should ask what it is.
Or Just leave well enough alone. If it's not bothering you, because now it's not unidentified because there aren't any more because everybody keeps killing them because they're scared of them instead of just leaving them be. And it's like, I can't help what I look like. I'm sorry that I'm unidentifiable. Yeah. I don't conform to normal beauty standards. Mm-hmm. So if that's on you, if you can't accept me for who I am.
Yeah, you need to investigate yourself. If your reaction is smash it in the temple with a rock when you come upon something unknown.
That's so close to something too, that you're scared of to get that close to something.
You got in there. And,
I mean, yeah, like they hit different, those Aussies.
He was taking a slug out of his cordials in the back and was like, I can take it. And the dog's like, no, don't do it.
Originally from Maxville, New South Wales, Rod Benfield claims to have seen Yowies in multiple areas of New South Wales, Birrawa, and the Sunshine Coast, convincing him the Yowie simply
can't be a myth.
He told ABC that his first Yowie encounter took place at the Candles State Forest in 2007 and left him with a
feeling of dread and outright fear. The first thing that came to my mind was that I had to get out of there.
Like others that have had run-ins with the hair-covered creature, Benfield spoke of its wicked wail, describing it to ABC as
louder than a lion's roar.
That's loud.
They are. Somebody on Reddit said that it was, he felt like it, penetrated his body. He was like, the sound was such a loud roar that it felt like it penetrated my soul. And people on there were arguing like, oh, do you think that maybe it could have been like, infrasound, like the Yowie is like magical. And someone else was like, if you've ever been screamed at in the woods, it doesn't have to be a special sound to cut you to your core.
Yeah. It reminds me of the recent Freaky Friday of the woman who her fiance had the Alaskan Bigfoot and said also that the sound it made, it was like this primal instinct. So, I mean, there is something inside of us, I think, that if it's unlocked with the right type of sound, it does take us back to, you know, the early days of our ancestors.
Right.
I hear anything out in the outback that is even above a peep, and I am going to pass away.
Yeah, if something is as loud as a lion's roar, I'm fucking right off. But it's louder than a lion's roar. But yeah, that the term of like guttural and like the feeling that it physically went through you, the gateway experience that we were talking about makes me wonder if there's something, not that it's like magical sounds, but just like the hertz, like the frequency that these animals yell at. I wonder if it is an evolutionary thing within us that we're like, oh, fuck, that's the runaway sound. And that's why you feel it in your bones, because your bones are like, why are you standing here? Why are you running towards it with the bullwhip? Why aren't you going the other way? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Damn. That's a good point.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, spring has sprung all over Texas, and my allergies have definitely been suffering. I just can't deal with the sneezing, the runny nose, but I have finally found a solution, Heather. And it is the Astepro nasal spray. It is a godsend. I have been suffering with allergies for so long, and literally within like minutes, I felt so much better after using this.
It's a when you find a game changer like that living here, it's like, I love you, baby. Marry me.
No. Yeah. You'll recommend it to anybody and everybody because we're all suffering together right now. So, and it's so pretty outside and you want to enjoy the weather, but you also don't want to be like a prisoner of your own nose. So you got to get that Astepro, man. Well, shout out to Astepro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Like I said, I use Astepro. Tommy uses Astepro. Mm-hmm. He had used it even before they became a sponsor. And when we got it, he was like, this stuff is really good, by the way. So if Tommy Brown endorses it, then we all know that it's okay.
I was going to say, if it has a Tommy Brown seal of approval, that's all any of us need to know.
Astepro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours.
Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Every day, Mike, you just got to do some sprays in the morning and then that sets you right for the whole day, because especially like you don't want to, if you're having to record or something, you got a runny nose, you're sniffling all the time, you just got to do some sprays and then you're set for the day. Two sprays, you're set for the day. That's what I'm going to start saying.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. Astepro allergy.com.
Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Day trader David Taylor had always fancied himself a Yowie skeptic until his own unforgettable encounter with the mysterious hairy beast in 2010. Taylor and a friend were exploring the Dularka National Park in Landsborough when his life was forever changed. As Taylor came to a fork in the dirt path, he saw it, telling ABC Sunshine Coast News.
First step, it was almost in the middle of the road. Second step, it was in the bush. Then, the third step, it was completely gone. Totally vanished. Couldn't see nothing.
Taylor recalled to the news outlet how he had never seen anything like the creature before.
Just the way it walked, you could see the human in it. But it wasn't covered in clothes. It was all hair.
Terrified, he admitted.
I started stuttering, and I had goosebumps all over me, and the hairs in the back of my neck stood up.
Fearful of what the hairy beast may do, Taylor and his companion made the decision to
get out of there.
Their quick thinking may have saved their lives, with David recalling to ABC the sound that emitted from the mouth of the hairy-faced brute.
Nothing makes you feel more alive than hearing it growl at you. It's that loud, and it rattles every bone in your body. Then you appreciate life.
Changed him, dude.
You have not appreciated life until you have had a Yowie growl
at you.
Like,
I'm feeling really present recently, and this has been really nice. I feel like I appreciate life.
You never had a Yowie growl in your face, you don't know.
You're right, I haven't. I feel like, do I need to?
Oh, yeah. There's no high like it.
I wonder if that, like, you become a Yowie hunter because you're like, I never felt so alive. I'm going back out there.
Well, they all seem to say the noise it makes is just this, like,
chanting,
jaw dropping. Yeah, it, like, changes you forever. And I have only heard a lion roar at the zoo. Mm-hmm. I have not heard one in the wild. I imagine that is a similar feeling. But mm-hmm. I also think all of these people have probably heard a lion because they walk around in the bush a lot and they're out there, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think you're right.
So they know it's not a lion. They know it's something different than a lion.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's the lion's roar. I think is the Yowie sound has been more of kind of like a screamy yowl, howl kind of thing versus like a roar. But that video, I think you sent it to me or I sent it to you or we both saw it. Of the gorilla just walking through that group of people out in the in the forest or where they were in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's peaceful. They're peaceful. They're all just kind of like laying and waiting for it to pass. But it is something so different than when you're like, oh, I've seen a monkey in the zoo. I've seen a mm-hmm. lion in the zoo. And then you see it in front of your face and you're like, oh my God, I am not the top of the food chain.
Did you see the TikTok of the zookeepers that were feeding the gorilla, and there were two of them, and one of them, it was honestly another zookeeper's fault. They supposed to have like secured the gorilla in an area while they went out and fed it, and it got out.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the zoo was open and people were filming this and children were everywhere. First of all, there was a good chance that these two women got killed by this thing, and everybody's just standing around with their kids. I'm like, why don't we go over to the sloth encounter while this is happening? But they, I mean, they did, I'm sure they have a lot of training and mm-hmm. they got out of there. But just watching them,
like hiding?
I mean, it was just like mm-hmm. a standoff between this zookeeper with a bucket of food and this silverback gorilla just staring at her, you know, 20 feet away. And you're mm-hmm. like, it's like a duel.
Yeah. Or just like,
you're not winning that. Yeah, you're not exactly. going to win that.
I'm not trying to fight. I'm going to hide and get out of the way and like throw the food over there and run. That was in Fort Worth. That's your hometown, baby.
That was in Fort Worth where that happened. That's right. That was. Dang, man. Well, in Dallas, it would have gotten out.
Yeah, it definitely would have gotten loose. It'd have been driving a dart bus, picking people up. It's on the tollway.
Dart bus gorilla.
A gorilla and a dart bus on the tollway. I can't get under 55 miles an hour. I would watch that. That's
it's
Dallas
like
for
speed,
you. That's Dallas, gorilla. Baby, where the gorillas run free.
Mm-hmm. 2 days later, Taylor's sightings appeared to gain even more credibility when members of the Australian Yowie Research Group photographed two large footprints in the dirt, right where Taylor had seen the creature. These are big old prints. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, the picture I saw did not have a banana for scale or any type of ruler, so, but they looked very large and, you know, were like sunk down in the mm-hmm. dirt a bit. It's not just heavy. Like a human's footprint where they were heavy. Yeah, there was some heft to it for sure.
They were big, wide, and heavy. I did see a picture of a Yowie footprint with a gym shoe for scale, and I was like, but like, what size is the shoe? Like, I don't know if it's my size. Is it my cousin who wears a size like 17? Because he's 7 foot tall.
Child's gym shoe. We need a little more context.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not helpful. But I did like Rex Gilroy was like, he was complaining about the more modern day researchers and how they didn't know how to take Yeti impressions, or not Yeti, Yowie impressions. And he's like, they don't use a plastic bag like I do. And I was like, you choose to take you. So you get the crunch. You got to get it down in there. It's a special way to do it. So look to the classics.
How many plaster feet do you think Rex Gilroy has in his house of Yowies?
Oh, I'm sure he had a ton. And he, in one of the interviews, he had a piece and the author of the interview was like, he was so excited. I got excited and I wanted to believe it, but he was holding up a piece of what the interviewer thought was just a rock. And Rex Gilroy was like, it's a Yowie tooth right there. It's a fossilized Yowie tooth. And the interviewer said he was so thrilled about it. And so like that Rex Gilroy was so excited about it that he was like, it made me really want to believe. Like, aww. I can see why people are like, yeah, like cheering him on. But he probably had 30, 50, I don't know, more.
He had a room.
Plenty.
That was dedicated to all of that, for sure.
I hope they're being preserved in a, like a museum.
Yeah, that stuff should. Somebody take over and put it in some type of museum. People like us will go
hell yeah.
Look at it, for
like
sure.
Like, we went to Boring, Oregon to go to the mm-hmm. Bigfoot Museum. It fucking rocked.
That is a city. It's not a burn on Oregon.
Yeah. Boring-ass
we went to
Oregon.
Boring-ass Oregon.
We went to exciting town, Boring, Oregon.
Yes. David Taylor was so convinced he had an encounter with a Yowie that he founded the Sunshine Coast Yowie Research Group Facebook page. Here, fellow Yowie enthusiasts can share details about their own encounters, as well as alleged photo and video evidence. One entry from a group member reads,
Operation Return. Lori and Daniel and myself returned to Kilkavan. Was an interesting 2 nights, to say the least. Lots of rock clacking and the two creek beds beside us. Had well over a dozen softball-sized rocks thrown at us in our camp. Had 3 deer antlers placed over the track we drove in on, set up in a way to puncture our tires. We located them at different times after we'd already walked and drove the track. Strange indeed.
Fucking Yowie. Setting Yowie traps.
That is strange. Yowie or not. Honestly, I think not is scarier. People
again
that live in the outback in the bush and that you don't know are there and are just like live in the bush. Like the people we talked about living in the catacombs. Like mm-hmm. that is scarier. To me, always running into a person in a situation like this is scarier than an animal because the mindset of someone that has chosen to do this and live out there is probably not one that wants to deal with my bullshit, you know? They obviously don't want me there.
Yeah, they're not trying to fuck with me. And guess mm-mm. what? I'm not trying to fuck with them either. You're right. This is just like with Gilroy's like first spotting when he's like, you think it's a man out there in an outfit? Like if there's somebody out hiding in the bush in a costume or if they're waiting for people to come and they're like, all right, we're going to put these here to puncture their tires and we can get them. Like you said, it's much more frightening that it's people behind it than that red that's looking back at you is like their infrared binoculars looking at you. Like you think you're out hunting, but you are the ones being hunted.
Mm-hmm. I always liken it to what I know, which is Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the fact that I assume every small town in Texas that we drive through, the woods are just filled with shit like that. Mm-hmm. And so then I extrapolate that out to everywhere mm-hmm. and assume that that's going on. And also that there was a series of movies. It's based on the actual Australian serial killer that targeted backpackers.
That wrote into Freaky Friday
horrific.
About.
Yes, but there's also a series of horror movies that's based on that are so freaking scary. It's called Wolf Creek, and mm-hmm. there's several of them. if you don't like gore, I would avoid it. But, and honestly, I don't, but I did know going into it. But it's so freaking scary because it's just a guy who is targeting, like, backpackers out in the bush. And he knows the area because he lives out there. And he knows they don't know the area. Dot, dot, dot. You take advantage of that. And then that's how you get locked in a basement in somebody's bush basement and tortured for a really long time. So that's the kind of shit that I would rather take on a 24-foot Yeti than deal with a person like that.
No, I agree. It's not, we're not,
not
here to.
Yeti, Yowie.
What's this?
Also, you know, Yeti, though.
They're cousins. Turns out. They're true. Probably cousins. But I agree. I never want to think, you don't want anybody to think I'm besmirching the great country of Australia to be like, there's probably fucked up people hiding out in the woods. Because where I'm from, there's probably fucked up people hiding out in the woods. Oh, so, yeah. Like you said, we only know what we know.
Not probably.
There are fucked up people.
There's proof. So, yeah. But something, it sounds like, did not want them there. Something Mm-mm. or someone.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
In 2021, three men working on a plantation crew in Queensland saw what they described as a
hairy ape-like creature
slumped over near a streetlight as they were driving back to their base camp late at night. The Courier-Mail reported that the men spotted a
slouched-over figure
beneath the light before driving closer and getting a better view of its
very long arms and ape-like face.
The men first believed it to be
a boar or a really big animal.
They approached the beast, but it ran away from them in what they called
a very ape-like manner.
One of the men stated that they were all
immediately confused when we crossed paths with the unknown entity.
One of the men, Seamus Fitzgerald, told the Courier that it was like
nothing I'd ever seen before in my entire life.
And that he actually feared for his well-being in the moment. When the animal ran, it veered to the side into the tree line. Fitzgerald also told the outlet how the bizarre experience impacted him.
I've never really had a paranormal or strange experience like that before. I hardly slept that night, and the feeling was overwhelming that I'd seen something that I'd never believed in previously.
The men weren't the only witnesses, as one of them was on the phone with his girlfriend, who heard the entire encounter. Wanting to find the creature, the men began a hike into the area where it had run, but their search was unsuccessful.
I believe they admitted, too, they had brought a couple of friends to go search, and they were all kind of shouting and pretty loud, and then later they were like, well, we realize they're probably scared it off, because we were like, where the fuck did you go?
And what are you going to do with it when you find it? It sounds like it was either taking a nap, or maybe it was not in a good way if it's like slumped over near a streetlight.
It was like, I got drunk on my own milk. Leave me.
On my own milk, yeah.
Leave me.
But this sounds like it's probably some type of ape and or a sickly type of ape or something like that, or another type of creature. I always am like, what are you going to do when you run after it and then you find it? And then it's like, are you going to befriend it? I hope you're not going to pull a Marin and smash it in the head with a rock.
No,
and just attack let it run off and do its own thing.
Yeah, it's like, get close enough to look if you want, but just then it's just like, wherever you want to go, baby, that's on you, Yowie.
Now, what if, hear me out, the girlfriend on the phone in this story was also the girlfriend on the phone in the other story. And so now she's like, twice I have been a third party witness via phone to a Yowie encounter.
You see, it's her, or this guy was just cheating on his girlfriend and Yowie was like, not on my watch.
Everybody's trying to use the Yowie as an excuse to just go out and cheat on their partners.
He's like, Yowie infidelity hunter.
There are certainly no shortage of Yowie sightings, some dating back centuries. However, the scientific community remains torn on the likelihood of the beast's existence. Much like the argument of Bigfoot skeptics, Yowie deniers point to the fact that a body or skeletal remains has never been found. University of the Sunshine Coast wildlife ecology lecturer, Dr. Scott Burnett, shared his opinions on the matter with ABC.
I just find it mind-boggling that they've never been shot by a farmer or whoever, or run over on a road, or found dead of old age, or have skeletal remains.
Still, Dr. Burnett understands how those that think they have seen a Yowie might be mistaken.
I've got enough stories now from people with impeccable credentials, whether they be officially trained or live with wildlife, who've seen giant black panthers, who've seen yowies, and the people are switched on, and they've gone back to have another look, and it's been something mundane.
The doctor goes on to further explain.
Even the people who most have their eye in for this kind of thing still get fooled. Our brain receives data, then tries to fill in the gaps, and that's our brain's power to extrapolate.
I think all this makes sense. I like how he, you know, he's not making fun of the people that think they've seen something. He's just saying it happens to everybody, even people that don't believe in these things, you know. You see, and he also said in the same article, because of the weather and like rain or just how dark it is out there, that your eyes play tricks on you a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of brushy cover and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you might mistake something behind it. There's been no bodies. Nobody said like this skeleton. I want him to go to the cordial factory and dig up the shallow grave, right? And see what that is. But there, other than that, there's been no like bodies or anything. And one article I read, they did say they found scat, that what they thought was yaoi scat, that was, picture this, 17 inches long and 8 wait, inches diameter.
One turd?
It was a big turd. That was, they said it was not human and it was, quote, not any animal that they could identify. I was like, or it is a bear who had a fucking terrible time. But 17 inches long, I mean, that's not quite 2 feet. I mean, that's big.
Yeah.
And then 8 inches
in diameter. Are we sure it wasn't a branch or some kind of...
It was a doo-doo.
Snake nobody's seen?
It was a big doo-doo. And they were like, who did this big doo-doo? And you know Rex Gilroy or somebody was on the case like, it was a yaoi.
It was a yaoi.
Think of the butthole that it had to come from.
That's really surprising because that is not how I was expecting yaoi scat to look. For some reason, I was picturing balls.
Like droplets.
But big.
Droppings.
But yeah. Because isn't bear scat like that?
Yeah, I think bears are like that.
Or is it like a pile of poop?
I think, that's a great question. I'm not sure.
It's not a great question. It's a question.
I think zoologists are, like, there's plenty of people study scat. Like, we're laughing because it's like poop and boop, buttholes and poop. But like serious, like zoologists and stuff look into it.
That's true.
And shout out to we have many zoologists and zoo professionals that listen. And thank you for that. And sorry for this episode. But to that point, I would say, yeah, we would probably be more like us than like a bear or a dog or something. So if it's got a lot of fiber in its diet and it's nice and hydrated, it's probably got a good 17 inches that it can.
Dang. You know he felt good after that, though. Oh, man. That's why everybody heard it. That's why that growl shook you to your core. That's your primitive instinct of like, oh, man. We all know once we have one like that, it changes you.
It's
it
does two different howls. One howl is like as in process of like, and then another one's like,
finished.
I did
Man. Did they examine the scat to see what it was eating?
I mean, how? This was just a one-off. Like the comment on it was like there was scat that was found. And it couldn't be proven to be, it was not human, and we didn't identify it as any animal, but I'm not sure.
So therefore
it's a yaoi.
That's how 100%. You, yep.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Sinister Hood will be right back.
For the faithful yaoi believers, no amount of dispelling arguments will ever dissuade them from continuing to search for and capture proof positive evidence that the giant hairy beast exists. Rod Binfield believes that with the number of dedicated yaoi research groups, it's only a matter of time before undeniable proof is captured, telling ABC.
I think if we pursue it with science, we can solve the mystery. We don't associate the hairy man as a crypto animal anymore.
The myth of the yaoi remains a mystery, albeit one that many people native to the area staunchly believe. For now, the hunt continues for the often elusive beast. Believer or skeptic, if you find yourself in the Australian bush, keep an extra eye out for trees snapped in half, flattened grass, and the sounds of rocks clacking together, all signs that a yaoi might be near. And if you hear a growl that shakes you to your core, run. Even if it's not a yaoi, something is lurking nearby and might be ready to make you its dinner. So what do we think?
Well, I love that the underlying message of Yowie from the First Peoples is more one of Yowie as a guardian for the area. So even if you say, oh, the Gigantopithecus, you know, there ain't no big ass monkey out there, what you can appreciate is that we should think that there is a guardian of the nature area, mm-hmm. that when we are transgressing where we should not, it will holler at us and warn us to back off, and that we should heed that warning. And in some instances, leave things you know, we don't want to go messing about when it's not for us. So
don't go fucking with stuff that you have no business fucking with.
So I like that. Anytime we have one of these cryptids where even if the physical, we haven't found, you know, bones of it, all we've got is this giant turd, I hear you. That's proof of something, but we don't know what. But, you know, if you don't have the bones of it, so you can't say, okay, definitively, it's this hominid and we never knew and this blah, blah, blah. That's okay, because I think as long as we maintain the spirit of the Yowie of going, yeah, don't go out there. Like, that's, it's just like good warning. It's like the Wendigo warned people, don't go out into the winter by yourself because you, for the various reasons we discussed. It's like the same with the Yowie of like, stay on the path. You know, if you're going to explore, be respectful. Steve Irwin, in that clip I was watching, he was like, the Aboriginal people who lived on the lands before me and my parents and grandparents always instilled in me that the tracks I leave should disappear within the hour. Like, you should never leave more of a trail. Like, you know, it's fine to drive through, walk through, sit down and have a picnic, but you're not cutting things, hurting them, burning them, whatever. So I still love, even if people, you know, even if Dr. Burnett is right or Burnett is right, like, perhaps we haven't found the bones. It's never, to me, I never want to say, oh, this, you know, folklore of this cultural group is stupid or silly or whatever. Mm-hmm. However, and I think it has a great message. Some folks would tell you, though, that, like, we are seconds from getting some of its hair. I'm not quite all the way over there. I'm kind of more in the middle. Like,
right.
Wouldn't it be great to find the booty that made that 17-incher?
Oh, man. Oh, I don't know if we're ready for that. Maybe that's why they're, like, keeping us at bay. They're like, y'all ain't ready for
these thunderous cheeks.
Yeah, you got your own. Everybody's dealing with their own stuff right now. Don't worry about what we got going on over here.
He'll make himself known when we're ready.
True. I've always thought the argument of the no bones or bodies makes sense for Yeti, Bigfoot, Yowie, all of those things. I remember when we covered Bigfoot, someone messaged or wrote in, or maybe it was in the research, that one of the theories for that is that they bury their dead. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's why we've never, but it does seem like if this many people have seen them, I'm always like, well, where's the picture? Or, you know, if
there's,
like,
footage,
there's,
it's blurry. It's a little blurry, there's some footage. There's footage, there's pictures, but it's always like, what is that far back there? But that's a good point, though, of the, it could, maybe they bury their dead, because I believe it was Rex Gilroy talked about how there were certain pre-humans, like not quite human hominids, that we would think of as like primitive and ape-like, but that were able to use stone tools and were able, mm-hmm. some even, there was evidence that they used boats and were able to traverse the seas. So I think we think of ourselves as,
we already know a gorilla can drive a dart bus, so why shouldn't a Yowie be able to sail the high seas?
Yeah, Yowie's on the boat and the gorilla's on the bus. Mm-hmm. But that kind of, I think we think of ourselves like, oh, we're the be-all, end-all of, you know, evolution, and nothing else has ever been as smart as us or is currently as smart as us. But there is a lot of similarities between ourselves and our ape ancestor. I mean, we are apes, like, full stop. True. We just are apes. So there's maybe they're out burying their dead, and we're just like, these animals would just leave the bodies out and just, they would just rot. And then we find their bones and they're like, we would never do that.
If 40%, if the research is true, that 40% of Australia has not been explored, that's a lot of places that Yowies could be living, burying.
There's whole cemeteries. There's a Yowie catacomb.
Truly, yes. There's a whole, community out there that what is a group of Yowies called?
A boatload. It sounds like a boatload of Yowies, because they can drive boats. We turned out they can drive boats. That's how they got over.
So that perhaps they're out there somewhere. I'm not going to go looking, because even if it's not a Yowie, I'm going to find something I don't want to find if I go digging around in the Australian bush.
Yeah, I'm not an expert in that. So I'm happy to let the The torchbearers of the Steve Irwins of the world do that. But I did have a feeling as the other scene that I watched him do is he picked up this blue tongue skink. It's a really cute, like, little lizard. And when it gets mad, it's like, bleh, and it sticks its little blue tongue out. But the camera got real close up on it. And I was like, that's a tiny dinosaur in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just the idea that this is a tiny version of a thing that was once so big roaming the earth in a way.
In a way.
Fascinating that maybe on the inverse, there's just giant-ass King Kongs running through the Australian mountains, the Blue Mountains over there, and we just don't know it. And we're like, well, they don't make them that big. And the Yowie's like, yeah, they do.
They make them that big. If
so big.
It's a 17-inch, 8-inch circumference turd.
Write us in. If you've ever laid a 17-incher, write us in. Podcast.
Yeah, if that was you out in the Australian outback, please
embarrassing.
Write.
You're like,
we need to contact yowiesightings.com immediately.
Dear Christy and Heather, I love the podcast. Here's my story. Let's get into it. So I was on a tour of the Blue Mountains in Australia, and I got separated from my group. And listen, I'm not proud of it, but I had eaten a lot that day. You're like, oh, it was you at the hill time, and it made it in the newspaper.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Please write us in. We want to hear that. Or if you are from Australia and you've ever seen the Yowie, please write in. From what my reading of the sightings that people have submitted on Yowie sightings and on Reddit and stuff is folks in Queensland in the area have either had friends that have had encounters or they've heard it, or it's kind of like an old, well, yeah, your uncle saw that or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I welcome any and all Yowie encounters or any Australian cryptids. Please send them in. I'm excited to hear.
I think we should take back what the youths tried to use as a insult, and when you see a fellow Yowie enthusiast, yowie, much like a juggalo,
yes,
you're like, Yowie!
Yeah, instead of a whoop whoop, we're going to give it a Yowie! Yeah, we're in honor of Rex Gilroy, may he rest in peace, we're taking it back. The unkind youths don't own Yowie, we all do.
Yes. Well, write us in if you've seen one, because if you have photo evidence.
If you've tasted that sweet milk, I want to know.
Or, yeah, or if you've sucked the teat of one. Definitely want to hear about that. Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 800 hours of bonus content.
Oh, for our join for freeers, it's the first week of the month, so you should be getting a bonus content from the archives this Thursday.
Yeah, even for those that just join for free, we throw you some content once a month. And if you're like, I want to know what's going on, but I'm not fully ready to commit, we have free trials. You can do a free trial for a week. You can check out the perks on any level. So you could join at the getting into it tier, which is the most expensive level. You just cancel any time before the trial's over without getting charged. Or if you like what you see, stick around. You can join that level or a different level, and you get so much when you join our Patreon.
Oh yeah, you get ad-free episodes, you get our monthly live stream Q&As. We got one coming up here in April. We'll get y'all the date to that soon, as well as quarterly bonus content. It's time for us to do another one of those, so we'll get you the date on that as well. We also have our weekly bonus content, like Am I the Asshole? True Crime Headlines. We just did a True Crime Headlines on Boeing, amongst other stories, and the Boeing whistleblower, as well as monthly minisodes, merch discounts, and the community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
For recent patrons, thank you so much for supporting the show, and make sure you stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch, like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. You gotta shop our new Believe and Be Kind. If you like cryptids, we got a Flatwoods Monster shirt designed by our very own junior researcher, Sweet Ella, and those come in kid, toddler, and baby sizes, so you can match your little ones and spread the message of the Flatwoods Monster. And don't miss our merch clearance sale, and act fast because we're almost out. We have Texas theater shows from 2022 with a really cool cowboy skeleton. We have our cover art logo shirts, a couple of those left, and our 2023 Full Moon Energy Tour shirts. All of our designs are deeply discounted in that clearance section, and you can use your Patreon merch discount as well. So get you a 2023 Full Moon Energy shirt, wear it to 2024. We're all just gonna think you're a veteran and be like, oh, hey, you already been nice.
Yeah, you look like a badass just coming. You're like, yeah, the show was so good, I'm gonna see it twice.
You're like, actually, I just like a deal, I can stack my discounts.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We love 5-star reviews, and we make it super simple for you to give us one. You can follow us on socials and check out the episode description for sources used during our research. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch full video versions of our episodes early and ad-free on Patreon, but free for everyone on our YouTube channel at Sinisterhood Podcast. We also have some fun clips over on TikTok, and we'll be going live on TikTok when we do our ghost hunt. I've decided it's only on TikTok, though, so you got to follow us over there. And if you want us to do a custom video shout out for you, head to cameo.com and search up Sinisterhood, and we'll do happy birthday, happy anniversary, dressing like a corn skull, maybe McGruff is hitting on you, whatever you want, we will deliver it. Just let us know on cameo.com and get your personalized video shout out today.
The paranormal investigation Heather is speaking of is the Trans-Allegheny investigation we have the pleasure and honor of doing with the Ghost Guild, our friends over there, in just a couple weeks. So we will keep everybody updated on socials as to details on that and when we're going live. So make sure that you're following us on all those platforms.
Yeah, so you'll see it. Speaking of following on platforms, where can the lovely people find you, my dear?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
Someone asked for my Insta the other day and I was like, Heather versus the world. And he was like, whoa. And I was like, yeah, I'll fight everybody. That's pretty much my only handle, at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Toby Armstrong,
Lillian McDonald,
Kyra 68,
Bianca Goo,
Samantha Lackey,
Lisa Holmes,
Siaka Kato,
Lara Vukalik,
Morgan Burke,
Haley Holder,
Lindsay,
Gina Parsons,
Montserrat Rowan,
Leslie Horowitz,
Patricia,
Shannon Lausch,
Jay Key,
John Lauf,
Carly Meyer,
Casey Parker,
Bailey Dahlgren,
Ashley,
Christine Hopwood,
Kim,
Victoria,
Brooke Rose Reed,
and Nicole.
Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We love and appreciate every single one of you. We hope you pronounce your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Wah-ha-ha.